From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A short drive from Sacramento lies a historic building along the Delta where local winemakers are the draw. Once a sugar beet refinery nearly a century ago, the old sugar mill in Clarksburg is now home to more than a dozen tasting rooms, showcasing wine from the Delta, the foothills, and Lodi. And on any given weekend, it is packed. It is a popular spot for picnics, parties, even weddings. But last week, the future of the sugar mill was thrown into uncertainty after the Sacramento Business Journal reported that the Yolo County venue was at risk of foreclosure following the abrupt passing of the owner. In the days since, the businesses that operate at the sugar mill have banded together, forming a tenants group to stay open. David Ogilvy is the owner and the winemaker of Silt Wine Company in Clarksburg and is currently leading the Old Sugar Mill tenant group, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Well, let's start off getting to know you a little bit better. What's your connection to Clarksburg and wine?
Well, I'm a fourth-generation farmer in Clarksburg. We grow wine grapes now, but my great-grandfather, who started our farm in 1921, started with beans, growing beans, and eventually started growing sugar beets. And he worked with a lot with the California and American Farm Bureau and eventually came to know the owner of the sugar of Amalgamated Sugar, and he worked with them to bring the sugar beet factory to Clarksburg in 1934 and 35. And so we have a long history with sugar beets in Clarksburg that eventually transitioned to tomatoes and wine grapes. And the sugar beet factory closed down in 1993. And another investment group bought it and turned into pretty much what it is today. And opened up in 2005 as a customer crush facility and a room that houses, like you said, 12 or more tasting rooms. And I came back to my family farm in, as a fourth generation in 2014, as did my brother Phil Ogilvy, and our sister helps as well. We're a family operation. And we started in really the fall of 2014 getting in with the idea of starting our own wine business. And so we created Ogilvy Merwin Vintners with our good friend Tom Merwin. And when we're in a region that has this facility where we were, the old sugar mill, that has a custom crush facility, it made us able to do what we wanted to do and take our grapes that we were growing and turning them into wine. And so we evidently, what I found out more recently is we became one of their largest customers. And I have many barrels of wine stored in there and use the facility and tanks. And so when, with the unfortunate passing of the previous owner, we kind of quickly decided we needed to do something about this. And I worked with the other tenants and we formed this Old Sugar Mill Tenants Group to help pay the bills and landscaping, electricity, wastewater removal, those sort of things that you don't think about, you know, as the day-to-day operations. But in order to stay open during this transition time, we needed to band together and do that, and it's been successful.
I remember my first time to the sugar mill, and, you know, I was just taken away. It's kind of like a mall of tasting rooms of all local winemakers. It's such a treat, and I totally understand why it's so popular on weekends. It's a great way to spend time with friends and loved ones. But for those who haven't taken that short trip along I-5, crossing over the Sacramento River to visit Clarksburg, what's so special about this Delta community?
Man, it's hard to pinpoint down, you know, one thing that makes us special, but really the proximity to Sacramento. Like you said, it's just a short drive down I-5. It really, from the town of Clarksburg, it takes 20 minutes to get to downtown Sacramento. You cross the Freeport Bridge, the Green Bridge, and you're in a different world. It's you leave the hustle and bustle of the city behind, and you come across the river to winding levee roads that are covered in oak trees and farmland. We are a region of a bunch of islands and reclamation districts that maintain those levees and keep water at bay and allow us to farm. And when you can enter a region like that, when you're so close to the city and enter that region where farming persists and is you know, it harkens back to, you know, yesteryear and good quality way of life and that we all enjoy and we want to share. So agritourism has become more and more a part of Clarksburg. And, you know, when my great-grandfather started farming, agritourism wasn't really the thing, and neither was my grandfather. And then when the sugar mill opened, that really helped facilitate this agritourism. And actually starting with, you can't talk about agritourism Clarks without talking about the Bogle family and Bogle Winery. They have a beautiful tasting room on Merritt Island, which is the island that I live on. And what they started really allowed, they were some of the first to grow wine grapes. And then my grandfather followed and other prominent families followed as well. And so now we're really embracing agritourism, and the shining jewel of agritourism in this region is the sugar mill. So it's very important to keep it going.
So for those who maybe have gone to the sugar mill but didn't think much about how it operates, how business runs, it seems pretty unique. How does the sugar mill operate as a business? Because it seems like there's a lot of smaller businesses that are tenants within this venue and facility, right?
Yes. So it's one big property. The previous owner had his own business running out of there. It was called Clarksburg Wine Company. Clarksburg Wine Company was a custom crush operation as well, custom crush business where I can bring my own grapes and have their team make the wine for me. That was one revenue stream. It also had an event business where they're holding events for the tenants as well as wedding events and business events. And then there's all the old sugar, the bays of sugar, where the stores that stored sacks of sugar, those bays have all turned into separate winery tasting rooms. So in the main hall, the Galleria, there's, I believe, 10 different bays, so 10 different tasting rooms. And each of them are paying rents per contract. They're paying their rents. And we, as a group, have hired some counsel, and they recommended that we continue to pay our rents. Whether or not that check gets cashed, we still must pay our rents in order to stay in good standing. And once we have a new owner, we can renegotiate or not renegotiate our rents. But that, setting that money aside for rent, really said, okay, well, that money was being used by the previous owner to pay for all the things that we are now having to pay for. So there's hope that maybe in the future we'll be able to get reimbursed for some of the expense we're putting out there to keep the place running. But it is imperative that all of the events, especially, you know, if you're getting married at the sugar mill, we really want to say, hey, we're working together to make sure that your special day is not interrupted in any way. And we've figured out ways to do that. And we want to just really shout from the mountaintop that we are open, business as usual.
How did you find out about the sugar mill being at risk of foreclosure and the owner's untimely passing? Did you learn it through the Business Journal article, or did you already kind of know what was going on before it was public?
Yeah, no, we knew what was going on pretty quickly after the owner passed away on June 13th, and that following week is when I was notified by the general manager of the winery. And you know, there was a previous manager that was there as well that was on the business side that was trying to see where the chips were going to fall, how things were going to run. But eventually he had to step aside as well. And that's when on July 3rd, right before the 4th, I sent an email to all the tenants and said, hey, I think it's time for us to meet and start this group to work together. And so we all met on the 7th, on July 7th. And, you know, after that meeting, everyone was on the same page. We shared all the information we had, and we said, hey, let's move forward. Let's figure out, you know, the first thing we had to do is figure out who the lender was. And we were able to figure that out. And they have been very cooperative. And, you know, this whole idea of foreclosure is such a, you know, carries such a negative term, but it's actually a positive thing.
How so?
Because the lender has to do that in order for them to take ownership of the building and then put it up for auction. So this foreclosure process is a way for us to have a new owner of the sugar mill. And that is what is needed now, is that new owner to come in and then work with all the tenants to keep the place running.
Yeah. So you mentioned that, you know, this isn't necessarily bad news. It's just, it could be a new chapter. What is your confidence that there will be a new owner for the sugar mill?
Oh, I'm very confident. It's such a great business. You know, it's really unfortunate the previous owner passed away, but just because of his passing doesn't mean that the business isn't sound and isn't a great opportunity. So there's, you know, we are in kind of that proximity to Sacramento that really is becoming more and more used as a playground for people who want to get away and enjoy wine and not drive all the way over to Napa. And honestly spend the amount of money you have to do in Napa. But we are just the proximity that we are in. It's a great business. There's a lot of opportunities there.
Yeah, it's close. And also you kind of feel transported to a different place. You don't feel like you're in the city and it doesn't take that long of a drive. It's about 15, 20 minutes.
Exactly. And we even have Uber coming out now. So Uber and Lyft, they're, you know, we get rideshare companies coming out and there's all sorts of ways to get out and then get back home safely.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with David Ogilvy, a longtime Clarksburg resident and winemaker who is currently leading the Old Sugar Mill tenant group. The historic venue is at risk of foreclosure. How are the tenants doing? How are the businesses at the sugar mill doing?
The businesses are doing well. We meet pretty much weekly, and it's kind of sometimes it's a little pep talk and a lot of information sharing. I'm working with a lot of our vendors and making sure that payments are done correctly, and so I'm giving all of the tenants the information they need to keep running and be confident in how we're moving forward. I'm not trying to do anything on my own. We're a great team and a lot of good discussion. You know, we have these events that are the non-wedding events, and they're really promotional events, and everyone's just working together and making those events happen without a hitch. We even had a lot of these tenants, their families volunteered to help at weddings, you know, to keep the weddings going with an unpaid staff. So it's great to see, and everyone's working well together. And, you know, one tenant after our first meeting, he came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, this is just great. I love being with this whole group of people. We're all in this together. We've been here for 19 years and have never been in a meeting where everyone showed up." And that just shows a testament of what the group that we've created and how we've banded together to move forward.
So if you were planning to go to the sugar mill this weekend, you have a wedding planned, business as usual?
Yeah, we're not actively going out and seeking more events, but we're going to continue the events.
We're going to honor the events.
We're going to honor the events that have been scheduled, so and work with those parties. You know, there is a time frame here that, you know, one thing that happened with going into foreclosure, it set this timeline that actually provides more stability to what we're doing. You know, we want to know that we're not doing this forever. We want to know at what time should we expect a new owner to come in. And the foreclosure start date was July 24th. And so there's 90 days from there before you can do what the lender is going to do, which is a note of sale. And that is notifying the county that, hey, we're going to put this up for auction, and that auction would happen no more than or no earlier than 21 days. So we're expecting that you know, hopefully by the end of November, we should have a new owner and that we can work with, and then that new owner would be able to honor all those events as well.
And then it would essentially be hopefully seamless that the experience for someone going to the sugar mill, you wouldn't really notice a difference.
Yeah, no, we've been doing a great job of keeping the grounds looking good. We got janitorial staff, and everything is running normally. And the goal is to make sure that this place is running well, so that when the new owner comes in, they see the promise that it has, and all of us working together. It's a great, it's inspirational.
Well, David, thank you so much for stopping by.
I would love to also add that this year in September, the sugar mill will, as a winery facility and tasting room, is celebrating 20 years. So that's a big milestone. And the sugar mill in its life has had many different chapters of sugar beet factory, and then first ownership for a winery, and now the second ownership, and then who unfortunately passed away. But now there's going to be another chapter with a new owner. But the sugar mill is still 20 years old as a winery, and almost 100 years old as a facility itself.
Yeah, that's so Incredible. Well, thank you for all of the work of you and the tenants to keep the sugar mill alive.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
David Ogilvy is the owner and a winemaker of Silt Wine Company in Clarksburg, and is currently leading the Old Sugar Mill tenant group. We've been talking about the historic venue, which is home to more than a dozen tasting rooms in the Delta, is at risk of foreclosure following the untimely passing of its owner. Up next, the future of Lake Tahoe was in the spotlight this week for an annual summit that dives into preservation while managing growth. We'll recap this year's Lake Tahoe Summit. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.